I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar Nation, good afternoon from sunny Los Angeles, and it's a super Saturday for BYU Sports. As the Cougars look to complete a season sweep of the Pac-12 Conference when they take on the USC Trojans tonight at the historic L.A. Coliseum. And then, oh, by the way, there's an undefeated rivalry showdown between BYU and Utah in men's basketball. And we're talking about it all here on Cougar Sports Saturday. I'm Mitch Harper here in Los Angeles and back in Salt Lake City. Holding it down at Broadcast House is my co-host Matt Biamonte. And Matt, what a massive day for BYU sports.
Yeah, a huge day in football, basketball. Let's not forget an Elite Eight soccer matchup with South Carolina.
That's right.
And a women's basketball matchup. That women's BYU hoops, men's and women's, one of the few undefeated teams left in both women's and men's basketball in the country. They take on West Virginia University here coming up shortly. So a lot of great BYU action all day long.
You can follow us on Twitter at KSL Sports, at Biamonte Matt, and at Mitch underscore Harper to interact with us throughout the show. You can use the KSL text line, UCCU KSL text line at 57500. We got a great guest lineup coming up as well. BYU linebacker Max Tooley going to be joining the program. BYU basketball forward Gideon George, fresh off a career-high rebounding performance of 16 boards. And then also we'll get a perspective on the Trojans from the men of Troy. Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com will give us the insider dish on USC. And is Kalani Sitake honestly a candidate for that Trojans position? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with Ryan Abraham coming up in hour number three. But let's start things off, Matt, with the leadoff.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, BYU and USC tonight, 8:30 kickoff here in L.A. You can listen to the pregame starting at 6:30 here on KSL News Radio. And BYU comes into this game, Matt, number 13 in the college football playoff rankings. And that's up one spot from last week where they were number 14 at Georgia Southern. There's a puncher's chance, Matt, that they could go to the New Year's Six.
Yeah, and I've actually felt all along that there was a chance, even after that second loss to Baylor, just because they didn't dip nearly as far as I thought they would. And it just really, look, when you have two losses, Mitch, it's no longer in your control. Like, if BYU had beaten Boise State, then it would be in their control if they beat USC going 11-1. Like, at that point, it's almost a guarantee you're getting one of those at-large spots. That wasn't the case. They lost to Boise State and to Baylor, and so it's no longer in their control. They need other teams to lose. Well, fortunately for them, that has been happening. It needs to happen some more, but the fact that they have moved up against, you know, that Georgia Southern performance to me was nothing special, but they still moved up a spot, which was huge. I think that speaks volumes to how this college football committee views their strength of schedule and their willingness to play seven Power Five football games, that they continue to move them up as teams they've beaten have done well. Utah doing what they've done and being on the brink of a Pac-12 championship has helped BYU. Washington State destroys Washington yesterday. They've looked dang good. No one thought that they would be this good, myself included. That helps BYU. So these things are breaking BYU's way. It needs to continue to happen for this to really materialize. But BYU has a like you said, Mitch, a puncher's chance at a New Year's Six, which that's a great thing to have at this point in the season.
It really is to have that element in play in the final regular season game, because usually at this point of the season, you know BYU's bowl destination, and you're like, okay, they're going to the you know, the Hawaii Bowl, they're going to the Miami Beach Brawl Bowl, they're going to this bowl. Like this year, they don't know for sure where they're going. And it's kind of exciting to play. Now, keep in mind, if BYU does not go to the New Year's Six, most likely they're going to be going to the Independence Bowl in Shreveport on December 18th to play a Conference USA team. Now, if they do get an at-large spot in the New Year's Six, it's either going to be the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach Bowl. And I got to say, Matt, if BYU, if you're the Fiesta Bowl and those bright yellow jackets that they wear, you got to like the thought of a BYU team that would probably bring 40,000 fans. So they got to take care of business today against USC. And if they get to 10 wins, 10-2, and they kind of wait for next week, see how everything plays out, BYU might be in a spot where they're an attractive team to potentially pick off, because they're undefeated against Pac-12 teams, assuming they win tonight. So there's a lot to like about this BYU resume if you're a New Year's Six bowl.
The thing I don't like is that the CFP committee is going to be choosing these bowl games. So I don't love that. But what I do love is what you just brought up, which is, look, last year, not a lot of fans attended college football games. This is an opportunity, I think, for a lot of these bowl games to make some money, like sell out the place, have these attractive games, get the eyeballs on the TV, and get fans in the stands. And in the at-large pool, outside of Notre Dame, is there a better brand that is going to do just that? I don't think so. I think that will help. But the most important thing to me, Mitch, and we're going to cover this all day long, you got to beat USC handily. This is your last chance to have an opportunity to impress the committee, because next week, conference championship weekend, you're not going to play. And so if this is a Georgia Southern performance where you only eke out a win and it's not that good looking, because I think people will pay attention to this game. It's the best game, the best late game left after the Oklahoma State game, which has huge ramifications for BYU. You got to be rooting for the Cowboys later tonight. But after that, it's BYU and USC. You're ESPN, you got Dave Fleming, Rod Gilmore. I know BYU fans mixed feelings with Rod Gilmore after what we heard last week. Give me Rod Gilmore, Mitch. Give me Rod Gilmore again on the call. And of course, always can listen here, Greg Rubel, Mitch Juergens, Riley Nelson. But you got to impress. I still believe for teams like Cincinnati, BYU, you're fighting an uphill battle. Style points matter. They have to. And I know, look, Kalani Sitake said, style points, it's not for me. It's not, you know, we're not into that. You got to be into it this week if you want to go to the Fiesta Bowl.
It's very true. And I think also this current game that we're watching, Michigan and Ohio State, this will be interesting, because if Michigan, you know, wins this game, they're up 21-13 right now, and then maybe they lose in the Big Ten championship game next week to Wisconsin, you could see a scenario where two or three Big Ten teams secure at-large bids. So that's something you maybe want to have the Buckeyes win here against Michigan. A lot of things got to break BYU's way, but like you said, they got to take care of business against USC. And I completely disagree sometimes with Kalani Sitake in the style points argument. Last week, Kalani took a knee and avoided the extra touchdown. To me, when Georgia Southern committed the unsportsmanlike penalty, I would have punched it in and made a statement.
Amen.
And got the style points.
Amen.
Kalani took the high road and wasn't petty about it. But I think in this situation, everyone understands BYU's in a spot where they're not in a power conference yet. They got to make a statement to be able to impress the committee. And I think scoring margin difference is something that's factored in to the committee and their stats that they pour over. I think if you could have a blowout victory against USC, I think USC fans would love it, because then it puts it even further into how bad USC football is. People around here are just down and out about USC football. We'll get into all that coming up a little bit later. But I think that if you could have a 3-touchdown win, 2-touchdown win against USC, It's a bad football team, USC, but their brand carries a lot of weight in college football. I think it would be a nice statement for BYU if they truly want to get a New Year's Six bid.
And look, I don't feel like we're asking for you to air it out at the back to that Georgia Southern. You don't need to take a shot down the field to Puka. Just run the football. If they stop the run, okay, great. If they don't, then you score. Like, that's football. And unfortunately, in the current – look, if we get to a 12-team playoff, then style points aren't going to matter. Winning games is going to matter. But right now, that's not the world we live in, Mitch. So when you're knocking on the door, you got to knock on it loudly. And so hopefully this week they just – because, look, USC's defense is no good. You saw what UCLA did in the last week. Just let's just score 50 points in the first three quarters. Then whatever happens, happens. Because that's possible if BYU takes care of the football.
Well, and let's face it, too. This BYU team, I think, deserves a far better bowl than the Independence Bowl.
Yeah.
No disrespect to those Independence Bowl reps who we saw in Provo. Nice folks, had some nice bowl game suits and all of that. But BYU deserves a bigger bowl game than the Independence Bowl. And I hope that BYU can take care of business tonight and be in a spot where they can get to the Fiesta Bowl. Because bowl executives, I mean, if you're listening to this, BYU is going to bring 40,000 fans, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this fan base is going to be so hyped up to go to that game, because that's what BYU fans have been clamoring for so many years, for the last quarter century, to go to one of those big bowl games. And it's nice to go into the final regular season game knowing that there's a chance. It might not be the greatest odds, but there's a chance.
Yep.
And I think that's all Cougar fans can ask for in this final week of the season as an independent.
Let's take a break here as we start the show, Cougar Sports Saturday. Plenty of USC and BYU talk as we get ready for the final regular season football game. BYU Utah, we'll get into that in hour number two. So much more to go. We'll continue to break down the Trojans and the Cougars next on Cougar Sports Saturday.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.